Good afternoon. Welcome to Insatiable Banalities number 68. It is the 11th of March, 2007. Today in the podcast, we have Using Three Words with Todd Gregory, a bass player, Justin Craig, guitarist, Damo Blankley, another guitarist. You need two of them. Dan O'Day, a singer, and Nikki Roberts on the camera. We've also got
Jim Boots.
Hello.
And Gertrude. Hello.
And the recently christened Candy Pants.
And John from the Riot Act.
And George.
And George the dog. And we haven't actually moved to the US. We in fact have Tom from Colorado joining us, who is the star of our
postcard challenge.
15 minutes of fame and postcard challenge.
He's the only winner of the postcard challenge, right. And we flew him over here, gave him a job and a house, and invited him into the studio.
I'm ready to go.
And if you send us a postcard, to what address?
P.O. Box 4332 Hawker, ACT 2614. Address 2, Insatiable Banalities.
Yeah. We'll you two can have a job in Canberra and a house like we've set Tom up with. Mm. So
it's a high life, I tell you what.
Now, look, using three words, it took a long time to get you in the pod. What was the problem?
Dan.
Just a lot of poor organisation skills, or had you just heard that it was terrible?
We are a band, after all.
Yeah. Made up of musicians.
Goes without saying.
Yeah, we have no manager.
Yeah. Our drummer's not here.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't really like him. Well, he's alright.
The usual. I mean, there's five of us in the band, so I think we generally are, you know, hard to put five people in one place at one time.
But you rehearse, what, once a week? Twice a week?
Once a week.
Once a week. Yeah.
Five chickens and not a head between you.
Yeah. That's spot on, actually. That's good, though. I like it.
That's the next band name, or maybe an album.
Don't encourage you.
Well, look, we did manage to get you in here, and just before we recorded three tracks live, slightly different from your normal setup, without the drummer, obviously, and an acoustic guitar. And how about we hear one of those?
Sounds good.
Because I
sec.
Yes, and
George is acting up.
George is being good. Don't you blame George?
It's getting very friendly.
If you've just joined
us,
no way, you can't do that because this is a download kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I think we need a picture of that. Actually,
you need a picture. Okay, and placebo references.
Yes, I
don't think you're as whiny as placebo.
definitely less nasal.
But how do you feel about comparisons in vocal style?
You know, I really don't mind. You know, like I don't because it's to me like it's better than them. Sort of, you know, he's oh god, it's getting weird over here.
It's
like a lap dance.
For the listeners, George is licking
tubes.
Out of all the guests.
You know, what I've heard is really effective is smearing peanut butter on
the chest. That's the best.
I wonder why they've got such a large tub of that in your pantry.
Empty.
But I don't have a dog. That's why George comes over so much.
You live in a neighbourhood, you know.
back to the vocal stylings. Your band members stoutly defended you and said, well, you'd only just heard of Placebo a year ago, and you've always been singing this way, and it's quite possible for two people to sing in a similar way and on the other side of an ocean.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it's
never
just
heard of each other.
I think it's honestly just a voice tone thing.
Yeah.
You know, I respect Placebo. I think they've got some great songs. But I wouldn't have called them an influence at all vocally for me at all.
Who would you call an influence, if anyone?
Me?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to say. Not I don't really have a vocal influence, more music.
And when did you start singing?
About 4 years ago. Only about 4 years ago, I think. Yeah, I was originally drumming in this band, trying to get it started. and then we went through all these different changeovers and auditioning singers. Yep. Oh, hello. And yeah.
And that's Mr. Jimbo's ringtone, his own song.
Excuse me, carry on.
It's alright. Copyright on the one.
Hello,
hello. Just
it's just on the radio.
Yeah. Go on.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no. Basically, so sort of how it all started up was, you know, I was drumming originally, and then auditioning singers, and I auditioned a whole bunch of singers.
And he said, "These guys are shit. I'm going to do a Peter Gabriel."
Well, no, it wasn't, there was heaps of good singers, but they didn't have the sound that I was, you know, like the sound, like I was looking for a sound, or at least like, because we'd play a riff, and the guys that were in the band with me at that time would play a riff, and I was just sort of what they would do with that riff, like I wanted to see what sort of patterns they'd follow vocally, and they weren't what I envisioned, so, you know, so that's, and so I thought I'd give it a crack.
The only person who could follow the vision was yourself.
There's a missionary, yeah, that's right.
That's the sound of George leaping across the gate.
Now, look, speaking of dogs, I'd like to say a big hello to our Tuggeranong listeners who this week discovered.
Laugh all you want, they number in the tens.
twos. The Chief Minister of the ACT this week in debate in the Assembly told a member for. What do they call that southern electorate again? Brindabella, the member for Brindabella, Brendan Smith, to go back to Tuggeranong and with the dog turds and cigarette butts and wasted lives. And
that was definitely from the member from the Bogolo, wasn't it?
It was.
Mm. Was that about that whole Burke thing?
Yeah, no, that wasn't a Burke thing. No. That was.
So we're talking about the city council.
That was about rumours about the chief minister's love life, because he wasn't willing to answer questions about where he was one night when the city burned down. Nothing really important. And anyway, but I personally, I think the bigger thing is that we now know what Mr. Stanhope thinks of Tuggeranong, and frankly, I agree with him, but I'm not sure how it's going to go down at the next election.
Just one
fly
rocks, that's all I've got to say.
That was an amazingly classy segue the dog to the local political scene.
I didn't put the dog turds in there.
You didn't.
Yes. So, guys, the rest of the band, musical influences, not Placebo, I take it.
No. I mean, it varies greatly between us all, and we've all got pretty open palettes for the music, I guess. You know, mm-hmm. We're not specific to one.
Can you name
sort of
some names?
Names.
What's on rotation?
Points and fingers.
Tool would have
Tool
to be on rotation
for some of us.
Sigur Rós for me.
Sigur Rós, I'd be there as well. I think like they're Icelandic band and just
amazing.
Now Iceland's an island with the same population as Canberra. Hey. They produced Björk, Sigur Rós. ice cubes, sugar cubes.
Yeah. Sugar cubes is beer.
Which was a beer thing, yeah. But yeah. Canberra yet to unleash quite the same potential in the world.
That's true.
Oh, no, that's all right. Be careful.
I think potential there, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Mind you, in Iceland, they do give students a free house to live in and don't charge them to study, which would help your musical scene.
Oh, definitely. Iceland. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never been to Iceland.
Given the high cost of living in Canberra.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Especially at the struggling student level.
Now, look, you brought in some CDs as well as playing some, recording some music here, and we're going to play a track of this new song, and I've just been doing some research. Basically,
you've been reading the liner notes while we talk.
This is produced by Anton Hagop.
Hagop.
Yep. At Origami Studios. Where's that?
In Sydney.
In Sutherland.
So the Shire, did you beat up some Muslims while you were surfing down there?
No, the hobbits.
We beat up each other.
Yeah.
It was just mostly speeding.
Why did you choose Origami?
Anton's history, he spent 10 years plus at 301, which is sort of the premier facility in the country, and he's basically started working with independent artists instead of the higher end of the market where his last sort of projects he's done, like the last Silverchair album, the last Powderfinger
album. Holy crap.
Yeah, he's
so he's the kiss of death for a band. You guys are fucked.
He's just decided to, you know, he met the guy who opened the studio, Ben, and they basically teamed up. Anton got a reputation and the skills, and Ben had this great studio he just built. It's a very new studio. It's only been around a bit over 12 months or so. And
in the Sutherland Shire, no problem with aeroplanes or
It's great. Out of the way. It's kind of cool. Semi-industrial area where it is in a way, I guess. Yeah, lots of car yards.
Quiet.
Yeah.
A lot of camera bands are going there now as well.
Yeah.
And so we were the first camera band and
really good deal.
So you've been have you been the conduit for that? Have you brought those
bands
there?
Back, this is the
place to go. Well, the CD, we were the first camera band to record there, and after all the other bands, like, oh, where'd you get this recorded at? We told them, and now they've apparently got a lot of bands going there.
Yeah,
so
a lot of interest.
But we actually heard about Anton through friends of ours in Canberra Switch 3, who worked with him on their last recording, which they
using three words, Switch 3. Is there a certain love of the number 3?
I don't know what's going on there.
Which three words are you using, by the way?
Using three words.
Those ones.
those three words.
Is it I love you or go fuck yourself?
Get it a lot.
Depends who you are.
Tough to fuck up.
It's all of them, John Boy.
No, it can be three.
Now, just
at a time.
On this studio business, there's 5 tracks on this EP, we'll call it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
How much did that cost, just the recording?
Just the record. Oh, it was, it was a package, basically. Recording, mixing, package for about $7,500 to $8,000 with GST and all that.
Whoa,
included.
So 1500 a song.
Yeah, ten days.
10 days.
Of recording and mixing, which we split into 6 days recording, 4 days mixing.
How did you fund that?
We won it.
And prostitution.
Yes,
definitely.
Took some money from the devil. Sold it.
Hang on,
sold,
did you win an ACT Arts grant? Come on, tell the truth.
No, we didn't.
Did you go?
We won a band comp.
Yeah,
we won a band comp.
We got some money out of Jim Beam.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, they run a comp at PJ O'Reilly's in that previously mentioned suburb of Tuggeranong.
Greenway.
You went in that one of those
ones?
Yes.
Oh,
no,
it was a regional competition. Yeah. They
that's on your website as well.
Ones.
You should check that.
Yeah. How many bands went in there? About two?
No, there was
a lot of rounds.
I
remember
there was about
really
8 heats of 4 or 5 bands.
Good. I'm glad they got some bands because they were ringing up everyone. I got rung like 3 times. Do you want to go in this?
They were competing.
But you had to pay to go in it, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, what was it?
$50,
I think, initially.
We wanted all
that.
We traded $50 for $5,000.
You got your money back.
Yeah.
You got the $50 back.
Yeah, if you get through.
And if you won, you got like $200 for your heats.
Right.
And so
they wanted to just guarantee
you. But they put 2 bands through. So the first time, we actually only came second in our heat, but they put us through to the next round. Then we won our next round, and then we won the final.
Excellent. Sure. And the prize then was $5,000. That's
five
fantastic.
Grand.
And so, yeah. But that didn't quite pay for the CD because then he went to Steve Smart at Studio 301.
Yeah.
And that was about all of it.
That was your mastering, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. $1,000.
Was that a mates rates because you didn't record it
independent? Independent levels because we're not a signed band.
Now,
you get a better rate. But
mastering's generally something that is really needed to get play on FM radio. Was that the aim there? Or just you wanted a completed thing?
Yeah, we'll put that much money in. Yeah. Like, to go the full. We fell down
a bit
to get, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's a definite improvement in the, in the quality of the recording once they do their little magic touches. But
really, you compared the pre-master to the post-master on your CD player, and it was
overload especially. I think it was.
Well, if it's all the same, I'm kind of disappointed with how that turned out in the mixes. Not disappointed. You know,
it was our favourite song going in, but then when it was recorded, we just thought it didn't translate like it felt like when we played it live. And after mastering, he did something. Hey, George.
George is just going from lap to lap. He's slutting himself around the party. George!
Actually, can we have a tube for George?
No, give him any more.
No, just one more.
You can sit in your lap.
Hang on. If it's all the same, isn't that the song that you said you wanted to play?
Yes.
But it's the one that you were quite disappointed with?
Well, we were initially disappointed with it, but once it was mastered, we were happy with how it came out after mastering.
It just balanced levels off.
And then is the sound of George eating a tube.
You know, tweaking the EQ, and it just seemed to cut through a lot better. And,
and it sounds good.
That was
radio.
The one,
like it's
104
really
used for our band of the month.
Oh, you made that Made in Canberra thing?
Yeah.
We did the Made in Canberra thing when we watched it. So they
pretty much coincided with the launch of it the same month. So.
That's you did well to get them out at the same time because a few bands have messed up their timing on that and been.
We get it right occasionally.
Right,
it was Ricardo, the absentee drummer. He
He's very organised.
Well, I mean, Scotty Masters, who's the programming director at 104, is quite a good guy, despite Mr. Jim Boots videotaped run-ins with his girlfriend.
Yeah, those are the longest available on the internet. And she's not his girlfriend anymore.
Also, you and Scotty can have a reconciliation.
No, me and the girlfriend can have a reconciliation.
No, you and Scotty, you don't want to reconcile with the... Oh, you do want to reconcile
with the... No. She was saying... Oh, look, not go into it, please.
No,
George, let's hear this song, If It's All The Same. George, stop banging the microphone!
Something is amiss now. It feels so right. Am I supposed to just give in to it? It's all the same, I think I'll pass. Stains all the time that I got along me. Now I'm the other way. It's all the same, I think I'll pass. Thanks for the time that I got along. Why do I contend to fear that I'm not used to? Can you feel this? I look to the left and to the back of my eyes and hold tight. Do you still see me? If it's all the same, I think I'll pass. Thanks for the time that I got along me. The other way, if it's all the same, I think I'll pass. Thanks for the time that I gotta love me. Now look the other way. Tonight it's over. Tonight it's over. I'm drinking good wine. Given to me right away. You're upside down.
Not a little bit inside out.
I'm drinking good wine and feeling in time. So I
Today it's over, sit down now. Don't accept the thing. Let me thank you, let me thank you, let me thank you, dear. Think I'll pass. Thanks for the time that I got allowed me. Now look the other way. If it's all the same, I think I'll pass. Thanks for the time that I got allowed me. Now look the other way.
Okay, so that was it. If it's all the same. And recorded at the studio in Sutherland. And just a little bit about the recording experience. Was that, did you do it all live? Were you in a studio with separate booths? Was it, you know, how did it work?
We started off trying to get the bass and the drums down at the same time.
Right.
Like, so we were all in the main room with the drums and, like, our amps and stuff, not in the same room, obviously.
Mm-hmm. We all stayed with the drummer, so we had the connection, right.
Yeah, visual connection, yeah. And the smell of everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, what do you actually hear? Do you hear the other guys playing their instruments?
Yeah, we had a visual room. Yeah, in headphones, so we sort of have that.
So each amp's in its own room.
Yeah. Oh, the two guitar amps had a room and the bass amp had a room. And then, it's all... lay the vocals down at the tail end, basically, of the recording.
So nothing at all like being in this room around a condenser mic.
Not quite. There's a couple more mics.
We tried to capture as live a take we could, and there was a few parts that got kept guitar-wise.
Well, breathe. Parts,
but we ended up just sort of deciding for the music we wanted to try and produce it a little bit, you know, for the small budget and time we had.
So
had
a bit more separation.
Fill it up, a bit more of the sound and compete.
The fourth song, Breathe, on the EP, that was done live, apart from vocals. And then we put a few overdubs on it, I think.
Just the effects, guitars, nothing, you know, the better was the tape that we picked out of two or three, I think, that we did on the song. But and the rest of it, we built up a little more, and like you can hear... For example, in 3 years, the intro on the tail, once we'd sort of started, laid the bed of the track down, Anton sort of was inspired. We've walked in one day from getting lunch and he started, we busted him playing a little Wurlitzer keyboard that he had just in the studio for helping pitching and vocalists and things like that, when he was bored. And he was sitting there playing along and we all walked in and just... mouths dropped to the floor. It just changed the whole sound of our music.
It did. It was beautiful.
We thought, and
so you're heading to that Kiss territory with the keyboard.
If we can get some guy.
A little more Beatles than Kiss.
More Beatles than Kiss.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say Beatles. I'm liking our music.
I'm not anti-Kiss. Don't forget.
Now, look, not many radio shows come with a dog that, wants to make love to you. Can we do something about this dog? Can you take some tweezels over there?
If the band has a problem with the dog, I can tie the dog up. But the band, until they complain...
All right, well, I think they've been very tolerant. Yeah.
They're probably enjoying it. That's how much we...
If a rock and roll band doesn't like a dog, I don't want to know.
Yeah, Meek and Keith love the dog.
Well, Julia reckons she had a dog in her band.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Juliet
Ward. Juliet, yes.
She did.
Have you thought of having a dog in the band? Would you like George?
Possibly on drums or bass?
He does seem very fond of you.
Yeah. But he won't bark on command, unlike Juliet Ward.
He's comfortable.
Goes onto his
He's very comfortable. Yeah. Now, look, that recording was your second recording. This one here is your first one, and it's called Bedroom Recordings. And literally... It says on here,
recorded
by using three words, in a bedroom.
We're very literal with our names, as you can see, using three words.
Bedroom recordings.
But you won't tell us, A, which three words they are, or B, what was being recorded in the bedroom.
Using three words, that's right.
You've just got to add it up. It's that whole numerology and literature crossover thing that troubles me with the three and then the... words themselves.
It's up there with Dan Brown. You guys will be selling it.
That's our pet hate. If someone books us and it comes up on a post or an ad and it's got a numeral 3, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's actually only two words.
It's only two words.
Yeah,
it's
only two words and a numeral.
Yeah, I've heard that, but they're so derivative. And they're so, that's right.
So there's been angry phone calls to BMA on this subject, has there?
Not angry.
No, they're good. BMA have been pretty good.
They've been trained.
Yeah.
It's just Gaz from the green room you got to watch. He's all over it now.
Actually, we still love you though, Gaz. It's all good.
Yeah, but we'd like to go if you're listening.
All right, love to give.
Can we go and hear another track now that we recorded here?
Mm-hmm.
Elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dan, I'm sort of guessing that you probably write the lyrics.
Yeah.
Am I right there?
Yeah.
So what are you wanting to say? As a songwriter, what is the purpose of having words in a song?
I really don't know, and I'm pissed off that we do have to have words in songs. Yeah. It just stresses me out.
Because it's hard work.
Yeah, it is hard work. I like to do the melody first and put words where the words fit.
Yeah.
That's how
it's
I like
to write. Professional hummer.
Yeah, I am. I think the melody is really important. And,
yeah, of course it is.
And
well, you play melodic rock, so...
Yeah, well, yeah, that's work. Right. But I don't know. I just think that lyrics stress me out. But I'm pretty simple when it comes to lyrics. Like, you know, I don't have a message to get across. I'm often just singing about, like, you know, a place that I was in, you know, when that, you know, the
an emotional space,
if you won't. Yes,
because it does have a very emotional tone to it.
Yeah, it is the melodies in what I write is pretty emotive, I guess, to me.
Mm. And the vocals suggest someone is twisting your testicles rather hard.
Well, at times, we used to have a professional Tessie twister. It was getting too expensive.
It was the opposite of a flopper.
It's one of the frills that just had to go.
That's exactly right. It just didn't fit in with the budget.
Mm. So,
especially on tour.
Elephant yep. testes?
No,
it doesn't count. Now, a lot of times when elephant gets used as a title, it's just saying something really big, or are you actually thinking of pachyderms here?
No. often I'll grab...
Oh, you show off.
No, we just grab a name. Well, the only, okay, for example, this song is called Elephant because the guys... When I first was singing to this song, instead of... I was singing the word, like, it had made absolutely no sense, but elephant fit. It just fit in. Like, yeah, the phrasing fit in.
It's not a reference, say, Owen Campbell, like, to the size of your tackle.
No. No.
You had to get that one.
did you manage to get through Owen's podcast without bringing that? No. You're still doing it, aren't you?
The elephant's not even used in it at all, and it has absolutely no meaning whatsoever to the song.
So it's just the way that you guys remember which song it is.
Yeah, pretty much. You know,
the
really
big one. That goes against all the rules of, like, pop song thing, because I read a book once called How to Write a Hit Pop Song or something.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone who'd actually...
The title has got to be, like, obviously the most often repeated word. So the hook, you know, because everyone will just attach that to the song and stuff.
In some of the songs we do. Like, we're just lazy when it comes to song naming, you know, like...
Yeah.
There's only a couple. Well,
most of them are pretty
literal.
Everyone hears a different thing. I think when a lot of the time when they listen to songs, you know, you always find those people who are saying something completely different to what
I
think elephant still works with the melody and the words
irrelevant.
The same.
Instead of elephant, irrelevant makes more sense.
Yeah. Anyway, you want to break as many of those rules as you can.
I think so.
Punk rock, of
course. I think so. You know. I don't know.
If every other band is following the rules, the only way to cut through is to not.
To not, exactly right.
Well, though, how many bands are following the rules? Do you think they're all going, come on, guys, here's the book. How do we write a hit
Chapter
song?
Four.
Yeah.
No, I don't
Move
think
to
they
Seattle.
Are. But I think you get
just
this...
so 80s.
In the mid-90s, yeah.
I just think you get this sort of osmotic training in it just from listening to pop music. And so you sort of... You know, I mean, the stuff that's a hit, that's hits, you've listened to that so much that it's ingrained in your mind, sort of about, you know, how to build tension and release it, and, you know, I mean, A-A-B-A, the form of the pop song is pretty well set. And,
and we certainly haven't shied away from simple structures in that way, but it's also probably not a conscious decision, it's just a comfortable, it's what we do, I guess.
And it's what you find audiences like, you know. The song shouldn't really go more than 4 minutes, probably 3 is good. Otherwise people get bored.
Yeah, especially.
Speaking of bored, let's hear that song now.
Let's do that.
In 5, 4.
Elephant!
Everything's the same tonight. Caught in the lines. What do they want from me? I can't see your thoughts. Step back now, move to one. I can't see your thoughts. Step back now, move to one. I'm in the way. Give it up, don't ever change. Tonight I can't see your thoughts. Why did you bring me here tonight? Walking through the rain, I'll be your alibi. Walking through the rain, I'll come alive. Because I bet your knees on the floor. Tie up my to close the door. I know that it's bad, but I know that it's right for me.
Shitty question.
That was Elephant, hence Tom's rhinoceros reference. I briefly wanted to ask Todd, tell us about your belt first of all, and the belt buckle, which has been intriguing me.
Belt buckle. Okay, the belt buckle, yeah. I found at Gorman House Markets.
Okay.
So people know what I'm talking about. It's a Mack Trucks belt buckle.
Right. And you've got the American flag on one side and the Mack Truck flag on the other side and the Mack Bulldog at the top.
He's just, like, he's just looking after my shit.
Yeah, right. Guarding your package. Yeah, right.
It's like a chastity.
It's a big job.
And is that because you like Mack Trucks or you like the United States?
No, I... Well,
like, yeah, like,
I'm not,
like
a, I just saw the belt buckle and I liked it pretty much. So,
you don't deconstruct your clothing.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not partial to either, really.
You're not worried about a woman getting down to the belt and saying, well, yeah.
Actually, you know what? When they get to the belt, it doesn't matter what's on the back.
Not for this scenario for anything.
My mind. Yeah. Once I start getting towards it, it's like, ching.
There you go, baby.
Once she, actually, Julia, the lovely.
Yeah. Well, her mum actually funded his belt buckle.
So she paid for it.
I had to pay it back.
Your girlfriend's.
Is that because you were one of those guys that's pants is always falling down?
Yeah.
In line with the fashion of the day.
Was she just hoping to turn Julia off?
No, well, I didn't have any cash on me at the time.
It never comes off that belt
buckle. She was like, yeah, I'll buy it for you. And I paid it back, so it's all good. We're all square.
You still did pay it back.
But fair enough, as you're claimed now. That's yours, whatever's in there.
Now, to move on slightly, Damo, I understand you and Mr. Jim Boots here had some sort of altercation back in the Gypsy Bar. At some point in the past.
Yeah, good on your dreams. Damo, I was referring to, because the other band members turned up and they were talking about Damo. I was going, I bet you
I can hear the sound
Damo,
of wheedling.
You. And there was this time where I was really pissed at the Gypsy Bar and I needed to get to the toilet and you were mixing sound and you know there's like a narrow gap behind you and there's a bit of... Not the Gypsy Bar, the bloody toast. I had to get behind you. I could have gone around you, but I tried to get behind you. You got the shits, and I was like, oh, sorry, man.
I apologize now.
Yeah, sorry. You were totally in the right.
I was just
hoping you'd forgive
me. It's a toast thing.
Yeah.
I hate that fucking mix position.
Has toast closed?
It's always up and down.
There was a rumour falsely started on my site just because someone thought it would go downhill.
Tanked.
Yeah, tanked. When he said tanked, I think he meant isn't as cool as it was.
Yeah, right.
As opposed to has disappeared completely.
But it doesn't have any competition for cool in this town, does it?
Still doing shows, still popping along.
I'd like to promote it, but I don't know. I mean, I should ring Brian, I guess. Is there an email?
We need to get Brian in here.
Yeah,
something I'd download. That's for sure.
He's lucky to catch him on weekends.
He's like,
he races
cars.
Yeah,
he's hitting the high scores, so he must be doing something right at Toast, because he's still holding it together.
He is a fully functional graphic designer.
Motor racing is a great way to burn money.
Yeah, burn money, relieve tension, which I know he gets a bit of that from the establishment as well. And the
bloody punks kicking his toilets to pieces.
Yeah,
as well.
And the hassles from surrounding establishments who don't like live music and all
but
the rest.
It enticed him to lease the space in the first place.
Oh, yes. Most definitely.
Yeah, because it's a dead zone.
Cinderella's jazz and no electricity.
But for our international audiences, we probably shouldn't talk too much about a little venue or something.
If you're in Canberra, the capital.
I like
of
how
Australia.
You reverted in your anecdote telling,
toast.
Mm-hmm. So that something that happened in Toast in your mind was something that happened in Gypsy. I think that's.
Did you do that?
No, you did that. You were talking about Gypsy Bar to these other guys, and they were like, "I don't think he ever did sound in Gypsy."
To clear that up, bud. I probably didn't even know it was you who was going past that time.
Now you're going to stab him. All right.
We didn't even know Nigel around the camper scene for a few years and previous experiences at TAFE and things like that.
Don't worry, you were completely justified anyway.
But it was, you would have been customer 153 million who tried to go through a 4-inch gap behind me in the wall to get to the toilets instead of going the other way.
Yeah.
And it was probably just at that point where I was dealing with the awesome sound system that is the Toast PA.
Now, is it true there are buttons that
we're
kind of going to
get banned from every venue in Canberra soon?
Okay, so that was
gas before from the green room. Now it's the dude at Toast.
No,
is there anywhere?
No one listens.
Everyone here loves Brian.
Yeah. It'll be just us downloading.
Me and Brian go way back.
Let's just say
Did we bag the green room? No, we didn't bag the green room. Gaz is a
Okay, what have we got to say?
It was just the three in the posters.
Now, tell us about the economic deal. To play the green room, you pay them $350.
Yep.
But you keep everything on the door on top of that.
Yes. You basically
enough people turn up, you get $5 million.
an assistant, and the door person.
That's pretty much most venues, though.
Yeah. Like, well, you are hiring three people out of that $350 for how many hours?
A lot.
Four, five. Yeah, okay. Depending on how long you stretch it. Right.
And you do get a rider on that?
You do.
You get a few years out of it.
Bottom
shelf only.
No,
it's
24 tap beers. 24 tap
beers, I mean,
so it's a case, basically. If you're a solo artist, that would be a night and a half.
That's between all the bands, and they'd have like three bands tonight, wouldn't they?
Yeah, on average.
So as long as everyone else cancels you.
So there might be 12 individuals, two beers each.
Two beers each. That's about standard.
They don't really. And it's a hard slog. I don't know if I work at the university bar, the ANU bar, doing PA there, and I you know, from working behind the scenes there as well, know how much of a hard slog it is to have any kind of venue open, especially after midnight too. The, you know, with the
but there's no residences within a mile of the ANU bar.
We're lucky there.
Yep.
Yeah. Or the green room
for that matter.
For sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we still get our students in and all that's wrong, but it's just, it can be hard sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, the ANU bar has suffered an identity crisis after identity crisis for at least the last 15 years. And I guess, for me, the sad thing is they tore down the posters. Well, you know, the posters of the bands who played there, I mean, they've had The Cure play there, they've had Nirvana play there, they've had Hunters and Collectors play there, and every time they do a refit, they tear down the posters of these incredible bands who've played at the bus. Oh, you keep them in the office, do you?
The office is a shrine.
If you want to get the kids in, put the posters back in.
we've had a little, we actually have had a little bit of coverage, the Sunday Times did a little feature at the end of last year on some of the history of it. And,
I don't think many people who are going to gigs are reading the Sunday Times. So
you'd be surprised. We had a kid from Dixon College approach us and filmed us for a interview us and filmed it like for a little short film that he did on the history of the ANU bar, because he was blown away when he saw, because we sort of featured a bit of a list of some of the bands that had gone through there to try and bring back.
Was his name Samuel, by any chance?
Yeah.
It wasn't Samuel Gordon Stewart, was it? No, he doesn't like music.
Oh, that's right.
Hello, Samuel, if you're listening.
I personally think the arrangement of the uni bar, the way just the architecture and stuff, it's not suiting.
It's hard.
You're fighting uphill.
It's, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, it's you know, they started putting bands on, a bit of entertainment for the students that are there, and then that's only ever probably really been their focus, and then, you know, they get approached by the touring promoters and things like that who go, okay, we want to play a show in Canberra.
You've got a floor loading at 2,000.
Got the right sort of range where we know we can, like, either, you know, adapt our show to the different floor plans, depending on how many people we think we're going to get, or, you know, we can sell it out, know that we're only going to maybe lose 100 punters, but, you know, it's better to have a show sold out than...
Yeah.
To have it, you know,
empty.
Yeah, half or three quarters empty, exactly. Mm. So,
I still reckon the best rock bars in the world have the posters of every band. I mean, Toast is building that now.
Oh, definitely.
And the band of every poster that have played there, and considering the bands who have played at ANU, it's a tragedy you haven't got the posters out.
A lot of them have gone through old employers. Employers. My employees. Old employees and things like that, you know, have definitely taken from the shrine over the years.
My favourite pub in Melbourne, when I used to live there many, many years ago, had posters all over every surface until the hard-ons turned up and did a Therefore I'm Reading show one day. And then, I think that accounted for some of the ones that were on the roof. Nice. And now for a song.
Good on them. Yes, that's our song. Another one we recorded here, 3 years.
Keep being alive with me.
Now, the next song we're going to play is Overload, which you guys have had a few spins on Triple J.
Yeah.
You know, did you actually hear your songs on there?
Yeah.
Was that a bit, was that a good moment?
Yeah.
Were we driving along in the
car? So they call you and say we're going to play you at this time?
No,
that is
no. Usually your friends will message you and say,
you're
on the radio.
Yeah.
You get that, and then...
It sounded better on the radio.
Well, the first time we didn't hear it, we checked the
playlist.
Because we'd sent the CD to Triple J, like to a few presenters.
Yeah.
And checked the playlist one day for Home and Hose.
Yeah.
And it had been played like a week before I checked it. So.
Now, for the international audience, Triple J is Australia's...
network.
They call it the Youth Music Broadcaster. But it's probably... I don't know, what do you think the age group listening is? 13 to 50?
These days.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You know, you're covering the full gamut.
Yeah,
but
35,
I'd
say. The average.
I wouldn't say it's the average might well be 35. Yeah, because they've grown up with the station.
Yeah,
yeah. The presenters get older and older.
Both Anne and myself are only above 35 age, and we listen to Radio National.
No. I know an awful lot. Well, a couple of 40-year-olds who just go, "Oh fuck, I listen to Triple J. I can't believe the shit they play on it."
Oh, it's a different world.
Apart from using three words, which is great.
Yeah. That's
what they say. It's usually the very next thing that they say.
If only they'd play more using three words, it'd be less crap.
That's what I hear.
Just play the EP and just rotate the whole time.
But let's just say, I mean, if you're an independent artist, getting play on Triple J is about the only way you're ever going to get any sort of national exposure, you know. Except for what was that Cat Empire who got that video played on SBS?
Yeah. Hmm.
That was their launching pad.
Hello,
that?
Hello.
Yeah.
Did they have pants on for that?
That was another. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of a different band.
Cat Empire usually play with pants on.
It wasn't so much a.
I think we should
TV
leave
show
it.
Either.
Yeah. I've been to see Cat Empire twice.
John Butler, Triple J.
How do you feel about music videos?
Music videos. It's all part of it. Being a,
it's big money
being
music.
A, being
the
a,
video,
being
though,
a child.
Oh, it's
born
huge.
In the '70s, grew up through the '80s.
Mm. MTV,
you know, that's sort of it's just part of the scene as far as I'm
so
aware.
So using three words, music video.
If you did run, would you wear
a work
pants?
In progress.
Yeah.
We think you get more viewers without the pants. Certainly George does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Dan tries. He wears them as low as he can.
Oh, I don't need to. This is my belt.
Maybe I should blend
it. You've got one of them buckles.
Yeah.
I've got another notch in it.
I got Top Gun.
Hey, that is special. I've never seen that movie.
Thank you very much.
I still don't know
Top
what happens.
Gun.
Top Gun.
Hey.
We're going to Top Gun.
He's the singer.
Or you could do a
that
ever,
elephant thing.
You could do a t-shirt, that kind of thing. You you get a big belt buckle and you just have an elephant above it and underneath say, while you're down there, why not?
Just leave a pause for
the girls to be lying.
Ease of editing that bit out.
Yeah, it's all in the t-shirts.
Yeah. You definitely are turning into the lowbrow corner of the
as the entertainment corner of the podcast.
Yes, for all the 13-year-old boys that are listening.
And the Benny Hill fans.
Hey,
I'm for no explicit reason whatsoever.
At least when I talk about sex, I try and aim it for adults. And
depraved ones.
Yeah, kinky
problems.
There is no 13-year-olds buying t-shirts with t-shirt help because you need a credit card. So there is a market of adolescents with credit cards.
And there's an awful lot of adult adolescents.
There are,
well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of them sit in this corner.
Adult adolescent or adolescent adults.
Yes.
And we're having a song about now. It's goodbye from everybody.
As played on Triple J. Hooray.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what kind of royalties are you guys expecting from this, having been played on Triple J?
Good old APRA.
We'll check
it out. $16 from APRA a couple of months ago. So.
Yeah.
It's $16 for one play on Triple J.
You blew it, didn't you? Like,
oh,
musicians.
Everything.
Yeah, I think it included some local camera radio airplay in there as well.
So it goes out to an audience of 3 million people and you get $6. $16.
$16.
Sweet.
Yeah,
it's 3 bucks. That's a beer.
Yeah, I mean, for APRA, what they do is they have APRA weeks where they, the radio stations are supposed to write down the
every song they play.
Copyright holders of every song they play. Some of them do, some of them don't. TWX doesn't, I know.
They probably just copy the
radio.
They would.
And then they extrapolate from that week or those weeks over the year how much you should earn and stuff. So, you know, pretty
you get a check for $16 and you say, that's half a case of beer.
Oh, I've got a check.
Yeah. No, we all do.
I haven't cashed them.
Oh, very.
Yeah. Oh, he's got $16.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Between the five of you, you got like two in a big case.
Oh, no, they deposit
it
to your bank account.
All right, okay. So, Andy, yes, you were right. We should go to a song. And it is Overload, and it is from this presumably self-titled second EP.
Is that what it's called? Presumably self-titled?
It's
got a hook.
Overload!
Fight. You're making me either right. Is this a dream?
Coming back to say goodbye, and before that, thank you to Using Three Words for coming in. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having
thanks
us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. And
thank you for still being in Canberra, because our last two guests don't actually live here anymore. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
After their podcast, they just blossomed and went on to bigger and better things.
Who knows what I've got to say.
Be in store for you in the next
watch
week.
Out,
I'm really glad you guys came along, because some people sort of suggest that I have a talent for nagging, but
no,
it only took a year of sending emails and it happened. And it wasn't nagging at all.
So how have you enjoyed the pod experience? We've never asked anyone that, and
yeah,
I think it's fantastic. I've had a great time today.
Yeah. I liked watching
what a random way to spend my Sunday.
That's great.
Yeah.
We also, I think we should also say thanks to Tom for coming along.
Yes.
Hey. Hey. Hey.
Great intro. Well,
once again, the winner of the podcast postcard challenge, Tom Sapienza. Hey.
I want some MVP beer.
Fuck yeah.
Which is the only beer they sell in Aldi.
No, they sell heaps of beer in Aldi and heaps of other different shit. That.
But it's the only beer they sell at $27 a case, right?
Except for the Mavstar. You can't get past a can of Mavstar, we can, and I advise you to do so.
And also, I just think we should acknowledge the presence of Nikki Roberts on the camera, who was very quiet.
But she scratched George's ears. So, you know, that's.
Made a friend today. He's passed out now, but anyway.
Yeah,
okay,
quiet.
So that's it. Goodbye, everyone. Say bye.
Insatiable banality. You've been listening to Insatiable Banalities podcast number 68, recorded on Sunday, the 11th of March, 2007.